I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
I am not worried about a coronavirus or any virus or the flu season. My faith and hope and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come what may. Terry.
Maranatha, baby.
We're on duty. Woo-hoo!
We're on duty. Jesse, yep. We're on duty, and I'm so excited. I'll tell you why, because I think God is working through all this, and I'm going to give you my take on all this. But before we do that, Jess, we have the good news of Jesus Christ's gospel, Matthew 20, verse 17 to 28. Would you please share that with us, please?
Yeah. Terry, I want to do today I want to do the psalm of the day, because I want to do a typology with Christ.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't get that, and just it's shorter, and we can get right to the show. Let me explain to the audience what typology is. Typology is a person, place, or event in the Old Testament that prefigures a greater perfect reality in the New Testament. So there's types of Christ all over the Old Testament.
That's right.
And without understanding that, you'll never understand the Old Testament, which is a shadow, and the reality is Christ. Look at today's Psalm 31. I'm going to give a good catechesis on this.
Okay.
First of all, Psalm 31... this is a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed every night. How do we know that? Because Orthodox Jews, practicing Jews, this is one of their evening prayers, just like Catholics have evening prayers as well. This is a Jewish evening prayer. So Christ prayed that for 33 years every night. In fact, he prayed this on the cross, at least one verse of it, when he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. Remember that?
Yep.
That's from Psalm 31. So let's read it, and let's look at the way this is. This points completely to Jesus. This is written by David 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. It says, the response is, save me, O Lord, in your kindness. So this would be attributed to Jesus Christ on the cross, saying to God the Father, who's also called Lord, save me, O Lord, in your kindness. He says, you will free me from the snare they set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. Those words completely apply to what Jesus Christ was doing on Calvary as he was hanging there. In fact, Jesus Christ said one verse of that, into your hands I commend my spirit, but he was evoking all of Psalm 31. And what's he saying? He's asking God the Father to free him from the snare of crucifixion. He's asking God the Father to redeem him. What does that mean? To buy me back, to bring me back to heaven. And he calls God the Father, O faithful God. Then it says, I hear the whispers of the crowd. Ah, 1,000 years later, Jesus Christ heard the whispers of the crowd. The Roman soldiers blaspheming him. One thief on the left blaspheming him. The Jewish Pharisees and scribes blaspheming him. He could hear the whispers as he's hanging on Calvary. And it says, the psalmist writes, that frightened me from every side. Yeah, Jesus Christ in his human nature, there was fear. That's why he sweated blood. Okay, so this psalm applies to... it's talking about the human nature of Christ, the way there was fear and what was happening all around him. Again, that's why he went through this incredible, excruciating pain called hematidrosis, which means the sweating of blood, which can actually happen. And it says here in the psalm, as they consult together against me. Absolutely. Who consulted together against Jesus? The Romans, the pagan Romans, and the Jewish apostates. They consulted against Jesus. And it says there on the next verse, plotting to take my life. That's exactly what they plotted. The Jews said, we want to kill him for blasphemy. He's calling himself God. The Romans say, we don't care about that. That's a religious issue. That's your issue. So the Romans said, well, but I'll tell you what, we do have a beef with. You guys are telling us that he calls himself a king that's trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. That's called sedition. We got a problem with that. We'll crucify him for that. So that psalm right there, those two verses apply to the Roman and Jewish collusion. Then it says, this is powerful. The psalmist writes, but my trust is in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. Jesus said that on Calvary to the Father, because there was never a time when they were separate. The Father and the Son have always had a face-to-face, communion with each other. So there was a never time, like John Calvin says, and Baptists say, Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross, God the Father turned his back on him. Heresy. Heresy. You cannot break the communion, the inseparability between the first and second person of the Blessed Trinity. John Calvin and the Protestants are wrong about that. And it says, by the way, where it says, but my trust is in you, O Lord, where Jesus Christ is saying that to God the Father, I'm telling us as Catholic Christians right now, say this, my trust is in you, O Lord, not in the government, not in the CDC, not in science, not in the coronavirus hype by the mainstream media. My trust is in Jesus, come with me. And then it says, when I end here, it says, in your hands is my destiny, rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. That completely applies to Jesus Christ. As David wrote this 1,000 years before Christ, these words apply, this whole psalm applies to Jesus 1,000 years in the future on Calvary as he's dying for our sins.
Terry. Well said, Jesse. You know, I took a course from Scott Hahn on typologies in the Old and New Testament, and we actually recorded those. So if people want to get into typologies, we'll be happy to MP3 it to you. Just call 877-526-2151. Let's bring in that freight train. Fulton Sheen comes in, full Sheen ahead. We're going to be talking also, don't forget, at the second segment, we have a beautiful interview regarding the Passion of Christ play that's going to be taking place during Holy Week that I would encourage you to go to. But I also want to recommend to our folks that this Saturday we've got Father Fessio coming, and there's still room for people to get tickets for that by calling 877-526-2151 or going online to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Talk about pain, the crucifixion. Here's what Bishop Sheen has. He says one thing is pain is God's megaphone. And I think about that right now in our culture. But he says pain in itself is not unbearable. It is the failure to understand its meaning that is unbearable. And I would just say this, Jesse, in our culture today, we try to do everything we can to avoid pain. And I mean everything, Jesse. And one thing that I think this possibly, and we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, I just want to throw this out, Jesse, and people can think about this. Maybe God is using this coronavirus, which is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. I get all that, and people are dying. And maybe God is using this in our world because this is a way to get people to get down on their knees and pray and know that they need God's mercy. Because Our Lady of Fatima said in 1917 that more souls are going to hell because of sins of the flesh. Well, Jess, be honest. Right now, we've got more sins of the flesh than we've ever had. We got 110 million people in America, one out of three, that have STDs, not degrees, sexually transmitted diseases. How else, this is just my opinion, how else are we going to reach these people if they don't have their attention? And I think that sometimes God uses these plagues. If it's a plague coming, we don't know if it is, then I'm going to say that God is merciful because he's going to offer people who are possibly dying from this an opportunity to make their peace with God. Now, that's just my take. I could be dead wrong and this can just fly right over. But here's my point. God, in the past, we've seen plagues in the history and what the church has done. They didn't just close churches. We had the Pope, we had bishops, we had priests. St. Charles Borromeo would go out and they would evangelize these people and pray and ask God's forgiveness, and they would ask God to intercede for the solution. But I just don't see that happening, Jess. Am I on to something, or do you think I'm exaggerating?
In times past, before Vatican II, whenever there was plagues, a lot of Catholics, what they would do, led by the bishops and priests, they would take Marian statues pictures, and they would start consecrating the city to Our Lady. That's what was done before. Now we hide behind the walls. Our excellencies, the Holy Father, we're hiding behind Vatican walls now. No taking Mary's picture or a statue over on the street and praying prayers of consecration and prayers of protection. No, we don't do that no more. We're become more political and more science-based than theology. That's exactly modernism. Modernism got rid of theology and replaced it with sociology, psychology, and psychiatry. Well, and here are the facts. Okay. The facts are, is that we have flu seasons every year.
Of course.
Okay.
Every single year, people die.
We have flu seasons. And guess what? I'm looking at the CDC website.
Yeah.
Every year in America during the flu season, probably about 10,000 people die. Yep. Is this microphone on? Hold on, let me check.
I thought it was 25.
Right. Yes. No.
No.
About 10,000 people die every year in the United States of a flu.
Yep.
Okay. A lot of your family members have probably died about flus in time.
I have two. Yeah. Two of them.
But guess what? As a result of the coronavirus in the U.S.,
yep.
Guess what? 21 people have died. Is this? Let me check.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The microphone's
just
off.
Just the facts.
21 people have died.
Yep.
Yet 10,000 people will die based on the regular flu in the U.S. And all of a sudden, people are closing down churches, stopping the mass, closing down the Lord's healing pools, stopping adoration, emptying holy water fonts. Are you kidding me? We are playing right into the devil's hands. He is laughing because guess what? The Catholic mass is the most powerful form of exorcism in the world. Yep. In fact, any exorcist will tell you the power of their prayers come from the mass. But if you're going to shut down the mass, especially at headquarters in Rome until April 3rd, the devil is seeing these Catholics have lost their faith and trust and their prayers are now weakened because headquarters has shut down.
Of course, Jesse. And when we come back, we're just going to take an 8-minute interview regarding the Passion of Christ and then get right back into this coronavirus and also about Holy Communion. We're going to talk about that. And clericalism we're going to talk about, right? You'll hear much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. So we come back, 8-minute interview on the Passion of Christ that's coming up. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. I'm excited right now because Jonathan Rumi and Maria Vargo are here in studio.
Yay!
Yay,
woo,
team!
Woo.
You guys are amazing. I'm listening now to hear about this last days, the passion and death of Jesus the Christ. This is a play that you're going to be putting on here in Los Angeles. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And first of all, I want to welcome both of you.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here. For the last 10 years, mm-hmm. or almost 10 years, Jonathan and I have been working together, and we have been doing this live passion play in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We have a 21-person cast.
Time out. You said 21?
That's right.
That's amazing.
That's right. It could be more, but, you know, we need a little few more dollars to get more people in there.
Cool.
But
It's growing. It's growing. Yeah, we're
good,
building
Jonathan.
It up.
Yeah.
Jonathan plays Jesus.
I can see that.
Yeah. I play.
Can you see that, folks? And watching on YouTube and Facebook, I can.
And I play his mother. What? I know that's hard to believe.
No,
but
I can see that.
A lot of makeup.
that was a joke. Go ahead.
Anyway, so we started many years ago at St. Monica's Church in Santa Monica, California, and we felt the Lord calling us to reach more people and to reach more hearts, because this show is so powerful and so beautiful, mm-hmm. To get to see Christ's suffering for mm-hmm. us.
Amen.
Just right up in front of our faces. And Jonathan does such a beautiful job playing Jesus. So we felt called to take it out to the masses, and Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Koreatown opened their doors to us, mm-hmm. and they've really been a huge blessing to us.
Good.
So we've gone out on our own, and we've been producing this show. And last year we did 5 shows down at Emmanuel Presbyterian, and this year we're doing 3 shows. We thought we wanted to consolidate and just mm-hmm. try to get as many people in there as possible.
Where are these shows taking place, and how can people go to these events?
So the shows are taking place at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Koreatown, as Maria said, which is 3300 Wilshire Boulevard. And you can get all the information and tickets by going to our website, www.thelastdayspassionplay.com, thelastdayspassionplay.com.
I love it. Jonathan, isn't this going to take place on a Palm Sunday? And also Saturday, it was April 4th and 5th?
Yes, so we're performing April 4th and 5th, Saturday, April 4th at 8 p.m., Sunday, Palm Sunday, April 5th at 5 p.m., mm-hmm. and then the following Good Friday at 8 p.m.
Oh, I'm going to do my best on Good Friday to be there.
That'll be awesome.
8 p.m., right?
8 p.m., yeah.
That's perfect. I've already done all my penance, and then I can have a great time watching you guys do that.
It's going to be an extremely powerful performance, especially on Good Friday. It resonates like no other show that you've ever seen.
I want to encourage our listeners, because we talk about Bishop Sheen saying, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. Mm. Well, I'm my impression of watching a live passion play, it should elicit an appreciation for what our Lord did for us on that Good Friday. Is that a fair statement, that that's the benefits of watching something like this?
Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, Maria and myself are performers ourselves, in addition to directing and producing the mm-hmm. show together, we are so dedicated to bringing a level of quality that you rarely get to see in passion plays performed locally.
What I'm hearing is that you've been given gifts, and rather than putting on shows for secular media, that you're taking this role of taking religious themes and really evangelizing people with the good news of our Lord. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Well, God bless you for doing that.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to remind people that if they wanted to support what you're doing, is there a website they can just go to also to make a donation to your ministry?
Definitely. As Jonathan mentioned, thelastdayspassionplay.com. You can go there. Mm-hmm. We are a 501c3, mm-hmm. so we're fully tax-deductible donation. Mm-hmm. Our ministry is to do exactly what you just said. We are out there inspiring, entertaining people, mm-hmm. but really we want people to see the love of God, the love of Christ Amen. Coming through everything that we do. So we really do need your support. As I said, we're fundraising this. We're fundraising. We're producing, just like you guys. We're wearing every hat.
You're amazing.
To serve the Lord.
I'm honored to have you here. I want to ask Jonathan. I'm going to put him on the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
Jonathan, you're playing
yes.
Jesus.
I am.
I have a question to ask you. In Aramaic, Could you say a few words, whether it's a prayer? What can you say in Aramaic that our Lord said 2,000 years ago?
So, yes, one of the things I was given was the opportunity to learn the Lord's Prayer in first century Aramaic.
Now, wow.
The Aramaic that's used in the Eastern, I think it's the Eastern Rite churches,
yes.
Is more 4th, 5th century. But this came to me from a very good friend of mine who's a Jesuit priest who was the consultant on the Passion of the Christ, Father
Mel
Folco.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught me the Our Father, which I would like to say with you now. Mm-hmm. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Abunde bashmaya, neth kadashmak, tefe malkuthak, newe tsevyanak, aikan de bashmaya, afbara, lachman de sunkanan yamana, havlan yomadein, Washbuklan, Havine Aikana, Dafhanan Spukan, Lochaivine, Ulo Elan Lanesiana, Lachaina Zaelan Minbisha. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to remind people, thank you very much for praying in Aramaic with us, that if you can go to these plays, these live passion plays, remember, this is Lent, and it's a great time to meditate on the passion. And it's coming up Saturday, April 4th and the 5th, and then again on Good Friday, April 10th. To get tickets, Jonathan and Maria, what website can you give them?
It's www.thelastdayspassionplay.com. I also want to tell your audience, because I know you reach people all over the world. Right, that we are live streaming one of our performances. So please follow us on social media. Go to Facebook, The Last Days of Jesus, a passion play. Look us up. You can go to Instagram and look us up there. We will be live streaming the play on Good Friday. I've had people who've seen it before live streamed who said it made their Lent if they couldn't get out of the house, if they were sick. So we, just because you're not here in Los Angeles doesn't mean that you can't be a
good
part
point.
Of this with us.
Yeah.
And also that you can't help us to touch thousands of people's hearts and souls at this time. People start crying from the moment they sit down in their chairs and Jonathan comes out as Jesus. It's that
powerful.
And people who are away from the church, too.
Yeah. That's powerful. Well, let's do it. I'm glad you're here. And you're going to be hearing commercials about this event this week. So tell your friends. And I'm going to ask one more thing. Take the podcast today and send it to your friends so they'll know more about this event, because this is an event that everyone should be going to. Jonathan, Maria, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
I love your zeal for the faith, and I can't wait to see the play.
Thank you, Terry. Can't wait to have you.
God bless you.
God bless everyone.
Bye-bye. Wow. Jesse, when I heard the Our Father in that ancient Aramaic, it really touched me, bro.
It was chilly. You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to learn it. I have it here in a paper.
Really?
Now I'm going to make this one of my Lent. I'm going to learn the Our Father in Aramaic by the end of Lent.
Okay. Hey, Jess, I do have some good news stories. One good news before we get back in. And I love it when a bishop stands up for the faith, because sometimes, Jesse, I hear such crummy things that are going on, like last month at the Religious Ed Congress. It was horrible. But here's a good news story. The Archdiocese of Detroit has ordered priests to refrain from celebrating Mass in any parish, church, chapel, diocesan church for any pro-homosexual group called Dignity. Jesse, this has been going on for a very long time, for decades, since 1974. Yeah, that's when they started doing this. And I'm just saying, it's late, but you know what? Thank God a bishop is standing up and saying, it ain't going to happen, because we can't go along and say that active homosexuality is within what the Catholic Church teaches. So that's my good news story. And I wish I had 1,000 more like that of bishops standing up, because it's about time.
Wow. A lot of our friends out in Michigan must be happy. I know a lot of guys out there. Gary Machuda.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Voris, Christine Niles, Steve Ray, Ralph Martin. They must be happy. That's good news.
Yep. Well, let's get...
If anybody wants to call up on what's happening in their parish, because people wanted to talk about this, just call up at 888-526-2151 if you want to call up and tell us about your experience this weekend or what's your experience at your parish. I can tell you here, down the street at the Novus Ordo Parish where I go to daily mass, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
That pastor just nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Coronavirus, everybody in daily mass is receiving in the tongue. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't even mentioned. He didn't even read anything from the pulpit. Okay. Nothing was read like in all these other parishes. You will not read. My pastor took it, and I think he used it to blow his nose. Okay. Plus, any here at Phoenix, Arizona, thanks be to God, Bishop Olmstead just said it is recommended.
Yeah. And that's
the Diocese of Phoenix says it's recommended that you receive in the hand. Mm-hmm. Well, my pastor says, all right, you know, that's coming from the diocesan liturgical office. I hear what they're saying. I'm the pastor. Nothing changes. People want to receive in the tongue. That's the normal way to receiving. Full steam ahead. And in daily mass, everybody's receiving in the tongue. So nothing's changed here at my parish.
Well, Jesse, we got some good news when we come back regarding the Polish bishops. And also from Archbishop Avigano, what he has to say about the coronavirus. And I think a lot of us are making more sense about this and really turning to God rather than in fear. And I think that is a really good thing. Jesse, I want to remind people, Dr. Louis Sandoval, who was at the Spiritual Warfare Conference, is coming to the Sacred Heart Chapel April 25th for a mental health conference where he's going to be talking on the issues of depression, anxiety, oppression, obsession, bipolar disorders, all kinds of issues about health and also spirituality. And I want to recommend the folks to come to that by calling 877-526-2151 or go online to register to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And Jess, next Tuesday, one of your friends, Leonardo De La Filippis from his group that puts on all these plays, talking about plays, he's going to be doing a St. Faustina play at the chapel at 7:30 on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Feast Day. And I want to encourage people to come to that. And there's so much more that we're doing. Jesse's coming in June for the men's conference. We have our dinner. Lots of good things happening here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Let me just remind people also, I got a new book coming out.
Tell us, Jess.
It's a vote for a Catholic vote for Trump. It's already, you can already pre-order it right now on Amazon. It's a Catholic vote for Trump. And the subtitle is Why Republicans, Democrats, and Independents Must Vote for President Trump in 2020. I've went through all his speeches in the last 4 years. Yep, that's what I do when I'm on airplanes and I'm sitting in airports. And I show you how Catholic-friendly and how pro-life he is. Terry.
Up next, we're going to talk about the Polish bishops calling for what? More masses? And also, Archbishop Vigano jumps in on the issue of the coronavirus. And later, about Holy Communion. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Christ's message of love, mercy, and compassion is for all of humanity. The Last Days, the Passion and Death of Jesus the Christ, is a live passion play being performed in Los Angeles and is an opportunity to get up close and personal to Jesus Christ during the season of Lent. Hi, I'm Jonathan Rumi, and I play Jesus Christ, and I'd like to invite you to join us on April 4th, 5th, and Good Friday, April 10th, at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Koreatown for this special presentation. If you're not able to attend the play in person, please consider supporting the ministry by making a donation to help us ensure Christ's message is brought to the world through the arts. For more information, again, go to www.thelastdayspassionplay.com and find, follow, and share us on social media, on Instagram, at The Last Days of Jesus, and on Facebook, at The Last Days of Jesus Passion Play. Thank you so much, and God bless.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We asked you to call in if you have a comment regarding the coronavirus. And also, we're going to talk about what the church teaches truly and the true story about a Holy Communion in the hand, how it all happened and the story behind it. We've got Barbara up in the Santa Barbara area wanting to join in on the conversation. Welcome, Barbara, to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, you guys are hitting it out of the park again. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara.
I tell you, this is something up here. I wanted to tell you, and I was trying to find it yesterday, and I can't find it again, but there is a whole thing, people, all you listening out there, there is a whole thing that says that all 12 of these things that have come down the pike in all these years, the Ebola virus, the Zika virus, the you name it, every H1N, all the different ones include.
Okay, we just lost Barbara. Maybe she can call back. Barbara, call back at 888-526-2151. She was going to make a point about all these different viruses. So we, and you know, Jesse, I want to recommend to people, I know I don't normally do this, but I got a notice on Fox News, Ingram, she's a convert to the Catholic faith. She's going to be interviewing a good friend of ours who we've interviewed, Steve Mosner, and he's going to come up and talk about the Verona coronavirus and how it came from China, and he's going to shed some light on it.
He's an expert in China.
Yeah, he is, and I'll tell you what, we've talked a little bit about this because the virus is coming from a town where they had a military base for doing chemical warfare. And it's just interesting. I think Mr. Mosner has much more on it than I am, but I read a little bit about it. So I want to encourage people to go to Fox News tonight with Ingram, and I think they'll get educated on that.
Terry, also something very interesting here. The Vatican struck a deal with the Chinese Communist government. So let's look at the spiritual aspect, because I'm always concerned with the spiritual.
First, yep.
Is this very interesting? Mm-hmm. Is this God's permissive will allowing a virus to just basically, God has spoken about this Vatican, the Communist alliance, and God is allowing this disease, the coronavirus, to come into the U.S. and all over the world. In Italy, in fact, where the Pope and the bishops, literally, I'm going to be honest, I'm not exaggerating, they're hiding behind the Vatican walls. Everything's shut down. No mass till April 3rd. The devil's laughing because St. Padre Pio says that the planet Earth could exist more easily without the Earth, without the sun and the moon, than with the Holy Mass. And the devil has gotten now the Holy Father and the bishops to shut down the daily Mass, something that was prohibited and warned by Daniel the prophet and the Maccabeans. The enemies of God will always try to shut down the daily sacrifice. It's happened now. It came from China. Could it be that God is saying, I'm not happy with this Vatican-China accord. I'm just
a question.
Saying.
Yeah, it's a question. And Jesse, you got a good question. And let's face it, right now, I've got photographs of people in Italy on Sunday morning going to the beach, going to the park. They're packed with people because they cannot go to church. I don't know. That doesn't sound make any sense to me. Barbara, do we have you back on the line? You're making a point.
You do.
Yeah, go ahead. Make your point about all these different. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, that they have a list of all the different ones that never, by the way, materialized that big. Mm-hmm. And they have the dates by every one of them. Mm-hmm. And every one of them was around election time.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? I said that yesterday.
It is.
Yeah.
And Patrick Coffin was on, and he was talking about the different things, and somebody needs to go to his website, too, and listen to what he had to say.
You bet. Well, I
people
appreciate it.
People need to start being quit being, you know, what happened to Jesus, I trust in you?
Yeah, amen.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's what I've been
saying. Barbara, we've got Father Murr coming on the line, so I'm going to let you go. But you made a very good point.
Okay.
You're amazing. Keep it up. And you know, Jesse, that the point that she's making, I said that in 2009, when Obama was under the as president, and when 11,000 people died from another virus, none of this took place. And I just asked the question, why is it, didn't it take place then, and why is it now? And I'm just going to be honest with you. I believe this is a way of liberals using this as a way to stop President Trump for a second time for being the president. That's my take.
You took the words out of my mouth. Remember Senior Advisor Rahm Emanuel? He was a chief of staff for Barack Obama back in 2008 when the economy was tanking. Remember what he said? He goes, quote,
never let
a good crisis go to waste, close quote. Why did he say that? What he meant is when something bad happens, find a way to score cheap political points to advance your agenda further and faster. And what they're doing, the religious and political left, they're weaponizing the coronavirus, and they're doing this. Even people in the hierarchy of our church, Terry, they're because a lot of them are card-carrying members of the Democrat Party. And so what they're doing is they're using this. They're trying to shock people. They're affecting the economy. And this is all to try to blame a business. This is a backdoor way of trying to blame Donald Trump, that this is all his fault. And this way, Joe Biden is a shoo-in.
Jesse, I'm going to make my point about clericalism. You know, we've been talking about that for quite some time, years, saying that, you know, we got to get rid of, you know, clericalism in the church. Well, I believe, and I have the documentation, I presented it yesterday, that the church allows us to receive Holy Communion. It's the ordinary way. And we're going to get more into this, Jesse, with our next segment here. But I just want to make the point that we have a right to receive Holy Communion on the tongue. And when a priest says, in our diocese where the bishop said it's recommended, like your bishop, to receive in the hand, that says recommended. It's not mandatory.
Right.
That when they refuse you, that's clericalism at its worst, in my opinion.
Right. Terry, we got Lisa from New York real quick.
Great. Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Lisa, you're on.
Well, it's actually David.
David, okay. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Blessed, brother. Too blessed to be stressed. What's on your mind?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I got a few things that I hope will help you guys or open your minds that in this situation with the coronavirus.
Okay.
Now, first thing that Jesus told us about the end times, Matthew 24, Luke 21, mm-hmm. and Mark 13, is let no man deceive you. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, we have, long before this coronavirus started, we had the economies of all these different countries starting to collapse. It's been happening worldwide. Venezuela, places like, I think it was Paris. A lot of different, the whole EU.
Greece, yeah.
Problem. Right. Things mm-hmm. happening with this. Now, has anybody been mentioning anything about the stock market? And do you guys know that they've been pumping billions upon billions each day into the stock market?
Yes, that's a fact.
Just to keep it afloat. Donald Trump's trying to lower interest rates. I have nothing against any of these people in politics other than praying for them, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
And I just want people to be aware of, first of all, this whole economy situation is an extreme dire mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our minds are being distracted by what's actually happening within these markets. I'm not a big market follower, but I do follow people that do follow the market. They've been concerned for a very long time over what's been happening in the markets. Now, it's been my personal opinion and possible revelation that this whole coronavirus, as bad as it said, because you guys said earlier that the standard flu has killed over 10,000 people a year in the United States.
Just
we've only
facts.
Had 21 deaths.
Just the facts.
So this is... Now, you got to keep this in mind, too, that everybody that walks this earth now has a cell phone in their hand. And it is completely showing only what we're seeing through the media. Coronavirus, 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 coronavirus. But no one is talking about what's actually happening with the stock market, and the numbers are dropping to a point where they're going to have to do something. It's either going to crash and we're going to end up with a whole new world monetary system, Revelation 13, possibly.
David, I just want to interrupt you. I've given you about 5 minutes on it, and Father Murr is waiting. We're trying to get him on also, but I think, you know, you're speculating, and all I can say is financially is not my big issue. I want people to get to heaven. That's the number one issue. Whether the stock market does well, okay, I mean, it's going up and down like a yo-yo after 11 years. I'm watching it. But I just want to thank you, Dave, for listening. And like I said, I'm glad we could give you a few minutes to give your take, because that's what we're asking for. Jesse, question.
One sentence I'll say.
Say it.
Whatever happens in the economy,
yeah,
on the natural order of things, it's as a result of the supernatural.
Amen.
If there's weak prayers, if there's a lot of mortal sin,
yep,
if there's a lot of corruption within the clergy, if the mass has been compromised, it's going to affect everything, the stock market, economy, the spiritual, like Scott Hahn says in his book, The Lamb's Supper, it affects the natural. And so we've got to get the spiritual right, live in a state of grace, bring the mass back, reverence, and everything will take care of itself. As Jesus says in Matthew, I think it's 6:22, seek therefore the kingdom of God first, and everything else shall be added to you. Let's worry about the spirit first, and God will take care of our country.
Jesse, I just got word that in San Francisco, 90 Catholic schools starting tomorrow through next Wednesday, March 25th, will be closed because one student was being exposed to the virus. So it's amazing what's going on all over the country. All I can say is my take on it, and again, is maybe God's using this to get people's attention that life is short and eternity is forever, and that we need to prepare for meeting our maker. And I think that, you know, with 110 billion people in America with STD, sexually transmitted diseases, how do we reach those people? If they get this disease and they're dying, they have the opportunity to make their peace with God. Do you think, Jesse, that they might not have done that if they were healthy all the way to 90 or 100 years old and they live their fun life? I just think it's God's mercy. Every time somebody meets God, it's God's mercy because he's going to ask them an accounting. And I'm saying right now, we have a lot of people who are not living according to the gospel. Maybe this is going to get their attention to make their peace with God before they meet their maker. Maybe this will help stop the global warming at the end of life. That's my right. take, Jess.
Well, let's put Father Murr on and just get it. Hey, we'll just carry on for the next segment.
We'll take Father Murr on the next segment. And you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. And we are talking about the coronavirus and also Holy Communion. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And we thank you so much for listening to our show. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret, He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and you are listening to The Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. We have got Father Charles Murr, who comes on Fridays many times here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. He'll be here this Friday with Dr. Janet Smith. Father Murr, welcome to The Terry and Jesse Show.
Gentlemen, good morning. I've got to tell you, Terry and Jesse, good morning. The last thing you said, eternal global warming, that got my attention.
Father Murr, you're a Catholic priest for over 40 years. You see what's going on in the world right now with this coronavirus. What is your take right now in the sense of as a priest? What advice are you giving people?
Well, let me be more specific, Terry. Father, what do you think about the Vatican closing down Mass until April 3rd? Sacraments, weddings, the Italian bishops, no holy until April 3rd. No, St. Padre Pio is probably
turning in his grave. Right?
He said that Earth can exist easier without the sun and the moon than without the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Father, this is headquarters. This is the see of Christianity. Isn't this something that is scandalous and affects the body of Christ at large?
Okay, here's my answer. Outrageously scandalous. Outrageously scandalous. Yes, it's outrageously scandalous. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible that someone would, you know, you were talking with a couple of people who called into, I was on the line listening.
Yep.
It's like the man in the olden days taking the picture, watch the birdie, look over here,
mm-hmm.
keep your attention off what's important.
Right.
We're looking at this virus, and I'm sure that, yes, the virus is important, yes, okay. I can't believe how it's taken over our lives. It's just, I'm looking for anything else happening in the world as a news source. Nothing's there.
Right.
I get to the when I hear that the Vatican itself is using this as a reason to stop masses. This is excuse me. The word evil comes to my mind. It's just this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. You don't do that. You don't do that. That's the remedy. Look, St. Charles Borromeo, my patron saint, love him to death. Great man.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Black Plague to deal with.
Right.
Do you think he told everybody to stay home and close their doors?
Just the opposite.
He was out hearing confessions.
Yep.
Bringing the Viaticum to people. He had one of the things that I remember from childhood. He had devotion to the precious name of Jesus, and had everyone pin the name of Jesus on his or her pillow at night, so as a protection from the plague. There were processions. There were prayers. I don't see any of that happening.
Well, I can only say...
I don't see any of that happening.
Father,
the
Polish bishops are doing just what you're saying, having more masses, more confessions. I think this is encouraging. I mean, it's embarrassing to have to say the Vatican is doing this. I mean, as a Catholic, I'm like, I got to pray harder for our leaders because they're not getting the message that Christ has taught in regard to the sick. We have to go out and reach those souls.
Yeah, Terry, you brought up a very good point. You've got nobody going to Mass because there is no possibility of going to Mass. Everything is closed down. Mm-hmm. But everyone's off to the beach and to shopping centers and to the this. What are you kidding me? What is this?
That's my take. Jesse, your thoughts?
Father Murr, in one of the books that I read, it's one of those old, 100-year-old books on the Antichrist from 10. It says that in the tradition of the church, one of the things that the Antichrist will try to do is emulate what wicked kings have done in the past, like the Babylonian king, the kings at the time of the Maccabees. What they do is they went to the Jerusalem temple to stop the daily sacrifice. The Catholic tradition is that the Antichrist will stop the daily mass, like the wicked kings in the Old Testament stop the daily sacrifice in the temple. Father, is this your understanding about one of the nefarious activities of the Antichrist is to stop the Holy Mass?
I'll tell you what, Jesse, for the last 50 years that I remember, I'm close to 70 now, for the last 50 years that I remember, there has been an attempt in different segments of the Catholic Church, of our own church, our own religion, to stop sacrifice, the sacrifice.
Wow.
They don't want sacrifice even being mentioned. With this, we can get into a whole thing, and this is enough fodder for 15 more programs.
Yeah.
But the very idea of taking sacrifice away from the Mass, they don't even want it referred to as a sacrifice. We could start there.
Sure.
But yes, to cancel the sacrifice of the Mass, which is the reenactment of Calvary.
Yes.
I don't, you know, we've really lost it. We've really lost it. And maybe this is a good way to ring some bells of memory, to unjar some things and get back to what's real.
Father Murr, is it a fair statement that I mentioned earlier about clericalism regarding the priest who will not give Holy Communion on the tongue rather than, in other words, it's not his authority to make that decision. The church is very clear that the ordinary way of receiving Holy Communion is on the tongue. And in the diocese that we're in and other dioceses, they're saying they're recommending it. But to refuse someone from receiving on the tongue, I call it clericalism. But what are your thoughts? Am I on to something?
Let me put it this way. I personally really dislike, I was going to use the word detest, but maybe that's too strong. Maybe not.
No, I
anyway,
don't think so.
I really dislike giving people the body of Christ in their hand. I really dislike
for a good reason,
because I know it came about out of disobedience.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And everything else, and I know what's behind it.
Disbelief.
Behind it is to cheapen the idea of that really being Christ.
Amen.
And
to that.
It worked.
Yep.
It
obviously
worked.
Look at the reports.
Worked, right? Now. Do you think that I, as a priest, could refuse communion in the hand to someone when it's been authorized by the church? I did until it wasn't.
I bet.
Until it was authorized. I
you had to. Yeah, I get
it. The day that they said, yes, it's permissible, that's it. My likes and dislikes are on the back burner.
Sure. No, I get that, okay? Father.
Yeah. I'm a priest, and I'm here to serve. So I have to serve the way that the church asks me to.
Mm-hmm.
No priest can tell you you can do this, you can't do that. You know, this came to the Vatican's attention.
That's right.
It came to the Vatican's attention some 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when they were doing the same thing. And Monsignor, who was my mentor in life, Monsignor Mario Marini from the Sacred Congregation of Culto Divino of the Sacraments,
mm-hmm.
he was the one in charge and wrote the mandate that went out to everyone in the world. Anyone who wishes to receive Holy Communion on the tongue and kneeling must not be refused.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
That's the way the thing is. That's right. No. So for a priest to say, I won't do this or I won't do that on his own cognizance because he feels that way, that's wrong. That is clericalism. That's exactly what clericalism is. Yep.
And they're doing it all day long right now.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you.
They have no right to do that.
They don't have canonical rights, but I mean, it's what can you do? You're at Mass. Well, you have a Mexican standoff. I mean, a wild, wild west.
Father, I have the opinion that we should take spiritual communions if we have a reverence. Now, people would disagree with me, and I have no problem having people disagree, but what do you think of spiritual communions when a priest will not give you Holy Communion on the tongue? What's your I mean, that's a very controversial thing to ask, but I don't care.
Well, Jesse, let's do this. Let's do just a slightly wider question. What do I think of spiritual communion?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right? I think it's a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous mm-hmm. thing. and it's, forget my opinion.
Yeah, the church teaches it
from the beginning, because there are times in life that you cannot receive communion. Right?
Yep.
Let me be clear on that. There are times that you that one cannot receive Holy Communion.
Right.
Well, what do? Nothing? Nothing? No. You make a spiritual communion. This is what you do. I was telling you, and I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to get this.
Oh, it's a good one. Get it in.
If I can.
Yes.
No, my grandmother, mm-hmm. right? She had a, my grandmother, I was very slow as a kid. I was maybe 5 or 6, maybe 7 years old before I figured out that my grandmother was my father's mother.
That's funny.
You've just got these grandparents and these aunts and uncles, but you don't understand how they're related to you. All right. My grandmother had a last name, though she was my father's mother, a different last name than we did. Just kind of odd. Well, later on, because people didn't talk about this in front of children, later on I realized she had been married before, mm-hmm. divorced, and remarried. Mm-hmm. Right? So she knew that she could not receive communion.
Right.
It's a shame she's not alive today to instruct some of these people in Rome. They seem not to understand this.
Right.
She understood she could not receive communion. All right. And she did not. We always found it strange that we would go to Mass with her different times, and she would never go up for communion. But again, you never commented on it. It was none of your business. And I think I asked my father a couple times why she didn't go to communion, and he told me just that, none of your business. All right? Good. All right?
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, one day, there was some commotion with the family. The next Sunday, we went to Mass, and my grandmother goes up to receive communion, of course, kneeling at the communion rail and on the tongue, because that's the way it was. What had happened? Her husband,
first husband,
had died, mm-hmm. had died.
Right.
She went to confession and was now reconciled with the church and left her second husband, left him,
mm-hmm.
and was now able to receive communion.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you something. And this is the importance of this. That taught me a great lesson about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.
I bet.
By her not receiving our Lord in communion, that taught me something about the real presence. You don't play with that. You don't play with that. That is absolutely Jesus Christ. And if you are not able to receive him, you don't do it.
Right.
Because you commit another sin on top of it of sacrilege.
Well said. Okay? Well said, Father. Father Murr, look forward to chatting with you Friday with Dr. Smith regarding the morality of euthanasia. Thanks so much, Father. Jesse.
God love you.
How about a priestly blessing, Father?
Yeah, Father, priestly blessing.
Absolutely. For the two of you especially, that you continue the good work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you, Father. Jesse.
Terry, let me just give St. Faustina the last word.
Oh,
Saint
I love Fausti- those words.
St. Faustina was told by Jesus in paragraph 1760, know that you are on a great stage, Faustina, where all heaven and earth are watching you. Faustina, fight like a knight so I can reward you. Faustina, do not be unduly fearful, because Faustina, you are not alone. And to that I say, Jesus, I trust in you. Terry.
All right, we'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same station. May God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.